Welcome. Everyone but me. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated, and everybody has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb to help the economy by behalf of the John Key Prime Minister, who used to work for the Federal Reserve. My very special guest, who's dropping in with us briefly while we're waiting for our other guest to come up, my somewhat fabulous producer, Mr. Mitch Santel, who has some news for you. Mitch, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's a very interesting morning here in Auckland, New Zealand, and my news is very, very simple. My new name is Kim.com Jr. New Zealand has rejected my renewed work permit, and I just wanted to let your listeners know that my hunch was correct, that anybody that was not born or raised in New Zealand, that immigration is extremely schizophrenic. And I am one of probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people who are having their permits rejected. So I just thought everybody would find that really, really interesting.
Well, what's the process here? I mean, why are they rejecting yours?
They rejected my work permit basically because I changed jobs during my last work permit, and because the owner of the company left the country, and because I wasn't a good boy and didn't go to immigration and tell them, they said, okay, you're fraudulent because you didn't pay more money to immigration and you didn't tell us. But there's something, Vinny, that's really interesting about this, and I think your listeners will find this interesting. In the letter that came back from my own immigration attorney, I wanted to read you, if I may, Vinny, just a couple sentences from the letter. It talked to me. It says, normally you should have been issued an interim visa automatically when you applied for a new work visa. However, immigration's automated system did not do this as it was supposed to do. If it had, you could have filed an appeal against deportation, which would have ensured your safety in New Zealand for at least the next 12 months, although you would not have had a lawful visa during that time. So basically, not only is New Zealand's immigration, I believe, a fraudulent agency, they're totally incompetent. And if we have time one time, Vinny, I've actually downloaded the audio of John Key talking about how incompetent New Zealand immigration is, and how they messed up on Kim.com, how the FBI was listening in when they raided him, how it was all fraudulent, how the whole thing's fraudulent. So basically, when they rejected me, they were supposed to automatically give me an appeal, but they weren't willing to do it. So now my attorney wants to charge me more money to go in and do something that New Zealand law has already promised and is on the books.
Well, that's lawyers for you, isn't it? And that's the law for you.
Well, it's sort of, they violated the Local Government Act when they brought in the super city. They violated Kim.com's rights, his sovereign rights as a resident of New Zealand. And here I am going into my third work permit, having been here in 5 years, having spent thousands of dollars with immigration and an attorney who I believe is very competent. And I get rejected. So my wife and my two girls are legal to stay. And basically, I now have to either come up with money to apply for an appeal, or I could be deported at any time. So I'm just letting your listeners know, this is a global thing that's going on.
You say deported at any time, like there's no leeway, they want you to leave now kind of thing, and you're illegal as of this moment?
I'm illegal as of the 27th of last month, and they said, yeah, I either have to arrange to leave New Zealand before I'm apprehended by New Zealand immigration and deported, or I can request for a visa under S-61 of the Immigration Act. But according to my own attorney, they're incompetent, and they did not automatically reapply my appeal. So imagine if I was a multimillionaire, which I'm not. I don't... I don't have the money to pay all these fees. New Zealand immigration this year alone cost me almost $7,000 for me and my wife and my two daughters. And as of the 27th of September, I'm now illegally in this country. So I have to keep my passport on me at all times, and I can be deported at any time. So I just really wanted your listeners to know this, because in America right now, what's happening is, and Frosty Woolrich, who's been on your show before, we have over 1,655 illegal aliens crossing the Mexican border into California. And according to Mike Harris, who is in Arizona, he claims that over 7,000 illegal aliens are crossing the border between Mexico and Arizona. So can you believe this, Vinny? Even me.
I find it happens to the best of us, and it's because the worst of us see it coming and bribe the people who would do it to us beforehand.
I understand. By the way, I wanted to congratulate you on your announcement yesterday on how well your show and your website is doing. You really deserve all your success, Vinny. You've worked really hard to take it to this point, you know?
Well, I appreciate that. And of course, I mentioned on the show yesterday, too, that it's because of, well, you, Mitch, and American Freedom Radio, and all the listeners, all the sponsors that we've had, and that all the support eclectically that I've been getting, you know, people taking me out for coffee when I can't afford it, you know, just as little a thing as that is basically made getting through the days so much easier. And regardless of how much work I have put in, I wouldn't have been able to even do that work had it not been for all the huge support that I've been getting. And I'm kind of living a dream that's a nightmare, if you know what I mean. And everybody else is in this nightmare with me, but I'm the one who gets to experience the dream part of it.
It's a really interesting dream, because to have us, you know, to be 27, have a syndicated radio show, you know what I'm saying, and being able to interview some of the top truthers in the world, while at the same time, the New World Order, the global police state, the way the U.S. military has been brought into New Zealand, we're living in really challenging times. And I got to tell you, Vinny, when I was your age, when I was 27, when I was, you know, falling in love with my wife and courting her, and we were living in Southern California in Redondo Beach, I had no idea, I'm now 55, that our world would be like it is right now. And my attitude is this right now. If we all don't stand for something, we will fall for anything. And there are some very brave people, including Steve Quayle and Stan Deo and David Icke, and all these people who've come on your Cliff High, all these people that have been coming on your show, and even George Norrie, man, who came on your show and said they're trying to kill us. The fact that all these people are willing to stand up, you know. A lot of people in the States are saying that the Constitutional Republic, once known as the United States of America, is really over. And the videos that people send me, I continue to put news stories at guerrillamedia.co.nz, and I really love you, Vinny. I also want you to know I also love your girlfriend. No, not in that way, but I really love the way she's stood by you all these years, because this has not been an easy road for you, has it?
It's, well, you know what, Mitch? A friend of mine told me something yesterday. He said, I have taken the word hard, and I've taken it out of my association with work. And suddenly, the work becomes a lot easier. And the more you think that it's hard, the harder it keeps getting. So despite the fact that it would, from the outside, and of course from my personal experience, appear that we've been through much hardship, trials and tribulations, fighting, arguments, but those are very, very minor by comparison to the large majority of the time where we're enjoying each other's company and cooking meals for each other and just basically being a couple in a very nice state of being. And this is different to a lot of truth is relationships, mostly because I don't see how you can go and be working every day like a dog and come home to somebody who's sitting at a computer screen with their back to you most of the time. You know, it becomes really hard to keep a relationship going like that. And so you have to kind of reserve face time, if you will. And that's what we did this weekend. I was offered to go down to a middle of the night drumming. I was offered to do go out to a sound recording studio. I was offered to go out and see a movie and all of these other things from mates of mine. And I said to them, no, no, and no. I'd really love to, would be keen, but I'm giving this weekend to myself and the missus.
I understand. Yeah. And I must tell you, Vinny, and you know this to be true, we have met many people in the alternative media and have met many people who are truthers who have lost their families, you know? And it's kind of bizarre. I'm illegal in New Zealand, but my wife and my children are legal. So, you know, I just want to let your audience...
You know what they're saying? In principle, it's illegal to have a complete family in New Zealand.
Oh, God. Don't get me started on that one, man. Don't get me started on that one. But
it's part and parcel of all of our recent family policy and all the things that are coming out in this country right now. It seems inherently anti-family, anti-freedom, anti-justice. And you're a man with a family who's speaking for freedom and justice, so naturally they have to kick you out.
I understand. And I must tell you, it's the people who have the least who seem to get picked on the most. You know what I'm saying? So if I was one of those wankers where I was... I mean, look at Kim.com, man. The guy was sitting on $100 million, right? The guy invests something like $60 million or $65 million in New Zealand government bonds. You know what I'm saying? And they raid him, and it's illegal. And I promise your audience, Vinny, we are going to go back, and I have the audios now. You're going to hear David Shearer, the Labor Party. You'll probably hear John Key in the next few days on the Vinny Eastwood Show. And we're going to play the audio. And it's amazing the crap that these guys get away with. It is unbelievable. And I just can't believe some of the stories that are coming out. I was on Tumeke today, and it turns out that when they were raiding Kim.com, they had all these spies from Canada and from England and from the United States. And it's like, there's another guy we got to get on your show, Vinny, who was a whistleblower with the NSA. And he lost everything and lost millions of dollars of income and retirement. And when the NSA turned its own ears, monitoring everyone's phone call, everyone's email, every conversation, it's all monitored. He was freaking out. He understood doing it to foreign countries because he was defending and protecting the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But when they turned all of that on U.S. citizens and they said, oh, yeah, it's a done deal. You know, you don't say anything. He became a whistleblower. So there are some really brave people that are out there. And I really honor and acknowledge all of them. I really honor and acknowledge you, Vinny. You're one of the bravest people I've met in New Zealand.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of like I'm the most well-shaved person in an Amish village kind of thing. It's not that difficult to stick out.
No, I understand. And well, the fact that at such a young age, you were so articulate about so many issues, you know? And I don't know.
It's because I keep talking to old wise fellas like yourself, Mitch, and absorb what experience they have instead of going, you're an old fuddy-duddy and I'm just going to go hang out with some young people my own age and just get drunk with them and then talk about women and such.
No, I understand. I got to tell you the strangest thing. I actually had a friend of my son's tell me the other day. He said, Mitch, you were 20 and now you're 55. And he said, technology in our world is changing so fast that a 20-year-old in 2012 unless they change careers or they're really aggressive with technology, their career will be over by the time they're 50, they're 35. So, but I think in what you're doing, your career is never going to be over, man. This is just the start of it.
They'd have to shoot me. And even then, I'll probably survive it because I'm very large and very hardy. And there's, and you know, many things should have broken me and destroyed me so far, but they have not succeeded because I don't want to give in, basically. And my will is stronger than any bullet. Apart from if it cleaves the head right off with a 50 caliber round of something. I mean, I'm not going to be silly about it. But yeah, I ain't afraid anymore. Because I understand what's really on the line here at the end of the day. And when people get unfairly treated, when mismanagement of processes, which is the fault of the processes and not the person being processed, I think some accountability really needs to actually be implemented in here. Because for frack's sake, if we can do this to good people, imagine what they'll do to anybody else who's innocent. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. I like this immigration problem we've got here. Because on the one hand, you have this precise same story being repeated over and over again, even in mainstream media, of good people who are contributing to the economy, doing such and such, having, through no fault of their own, getting messed around by immigration and basically having their money stolen off them. You know, immigration is real expensive and real cryptic and real mafioso like that. They give you, they come in, it's only $2,000, you know, and then the next time you go back, it's now $4,000. You go, whoa. Okay, well, I've already paid the $2,000. I guess I'll pay the $4,000. And they come back and it's like, now it's $8,000. You're like, if they've told me it was 20 G's up front, yo, I probably wouldn't have set foot in this freaking stinking country. And that's how immigration works for you. Unless you happen to be coming from a number of the Pacific Islands and Australia, where New Zealand has very close bonds and ties with, you can come in, no job, or connections or anything of that nature, qualifications, nothing. And you can come right in, and it's no problem. You'll never have a problem with immigration about anything, ever. I'm not sure what the situation is there entirely, but that's as far as the parameters are concerned. Whereas there was another story in the mainstream media about a South African guy who started up a garage and is employing like 6 New Zealanders up north somewhere in Northland, New Zealand. And of course, immigration, seeing this person who's contributing to the economy, providing high quality service, training New Zealand citizens, giving them independence and an income, and providing a much needed service for that area that had previously only had one other choice. Naturally, they say, let's get this guy the heck out of here. He's bad. And he's like, what? And then that's how it works. I don't understand exactly why. I have a guess that they target these people because they provide good examples of immigrants. You want to have everybody angry at the immigrants. You want to have people worried about boat people. You want to have people giving endless justifications so that you can build prison camps to house all these mythical boat people, of which New Zealand has never had one, apart from the British Empire, who came invading in large boats, and the immigrants from other islands and such who arrived in canoe boats a couple of hundred years ago. Since then, apparently, nobody's been able to make the journey. You know, why? Because Australia's closer. All right, there's no reason for people to really want to come to New Zealand. It's an extra whole ocean to travel across in order to get there when you can just shimmy up there. What are you going to do? Try and immigrate to New Zealand from Easter Island or South America? You have to go halfway around the world. It's insane. It doesn't work like that. We are isolated. Okay? Well, remote, should I say, but not isolated. You know, we've got planes coming in here. We've got ships coming in here all the time. As far as I know, those ships don't have an overabundance of boat people in them. So what is everybody worried about? Here's the idea. They're using these type of tactics, I believe, to condition and train both the population and the authorities to obey BS crap without question. And this allows extremely dangerous liars to seize control and maintain it. That's all that it is. Kicking somebody out from immigration. Oh, he's a really good person, you know. We really want that person as a citizen. No, kick him out. Wait, hold on a second. This is a break from standard operating procedure, isn't it? SOP, standard operating procedure, familiar with the term? You do realize that those kind of procedures are put there to prevent these kind of stupid things from happening. And when you have a break in standard operating procedure, it's a red flag that there might be something else afoot. If a guard's supposed to rotate at 4 a.m. and he rotates at 3:30 instead, and then suddenly a big terrorist attack happens or something like that, it's a conspiracy. He was ordered off, you know. So I wonder, as I do, being a proud conspiracy theorist who believes that there are powerful people who have a lot of influence who use their power to maintain their influence, that there might be some hidden agenda at foot to kick talented and useful people out of New Zealand. And to force migrate intelligent people out of here by keeping the prospects for them down. Yeah, I mean, at least that's what I see happening. I don't know whether or not there's a direct intention behind it, but if you do see it happening and you start researching into it and you start seeing the same names, same organizations, same similar policies that's been screwing over people in other countries the whole freaking time, it loses its illusion and it loses the theory tag. It's no longer a conspiracy theory. It's just a conspiracy. Okay. And conspiracies happen all the time. All the time. History is nothing but conspiracy. Do you think anybody's ever been able to throw away a government by being open and transparent about it? No. You have to do it by conspiracy. Okay? Two or more people coming together to cause harm on another group of people without that group of people knowing about it. It's pretty straightforward. Anybody who has ever had a brother or a sister would understand this dynamic. Hey, it's like somebody behind your back is kneeling down. And then somebody at your front pushes you over and just pushes you gently, and you didn't realize that there was a person behind you, so you fall over. Oh, my God, there's nothing supporting me there. That's what a conspiracy is at the end of the day. Two people messing you around, and you didn't know it was about to happen. Okay, you may find out later, and they may try and cover it up and say, no, it was just an accident. You know, he just happened to be kneeling down there behind you, tying his shoe at the exact moment that I pushed him. And he was and both of us were completely unaware of each other, even though I was facing him and it was in full view. And the likelihood of this thing happening is 1 in 700 billion, considering he decided to bend down behind somebody next to their ass entire shoe. So you get all that ass particle in the face. You know, it was a matter of preference. There's no conspiracy going on here, mate. You're crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist. What are you going on about? See? This is how these people work. They twist and turn and subvert and change their stories and frack people around to no end. That's the same mentality that I see all the time, everywhere, in everybody's country. Everybody getting messed around for no good reason, seemingly. No good reason to any sane, reasonable, moral, or ethical person, at least. If I was instead some description of power-loving, authoritarian, misconstrued, brain-spasming, reptilian brain response, low motor cortex, drooling, aspartame, guzzling, fluoride, slurping till you're blue in the facing, McDonald's munching, absolute retarded, psychopathic, TSA agentish, New World Order slave scum, stymie pig swallow. You get the idea. If I was one of those people, maybe I wouldn't give a second thought about what things like that are happening to my producer right now. Maybe. And that's acting under the assumption I went home to a family full of slovenly pieces of trash as well. You know, and this doesn't mean to demean those people who have these different jobs, and there are shockingly large amounts of good people in there, and I can guarantee you when they go home to their families, maybe they're good people too. But it doesn't change the fact that the New World Order has structured society and structured our education systems and every single other form of legislation and what have you in order to produce those type of morons who follow without question, who drink the poison and love it. They're being brainwashed into it ever since the times of Bernays. You have a look at any advertisement before the 1900s and what have you. It was all about statistically what the freaking problem is with this puppy. Okay? Is there any weaknesses in its design? Is it functional? You know, that was what advertising was basically about things that you would purchase because of their high quality and the necessity for having them. That's why everything didn't look very fancy, okay? Everything looked like crap because it was determined to be functional rather than functional. You know what I mean? Bernays changed all that. He changed it into desire, okay? Not necessity, desire. So that you will have a good feeling about purchasing this product. Oh, that seat in that car is so comfy. Oh, it's so nice. This makes me feel better. This will make my neighbors respect me. Sorry, mate. It's a big lie. And most people fell into it. And some people fell so deep into it, and they can't get themselves out. They're not even capable of thinking about what a necessity is for them anymore. They don't drink water, they drink fizzy drinks. They don't know what a necessity is. They don't eat vegetables in the main, and then they wind up getting prostate cancer at 28 and wonder why. Okay, this whole system has been designed to kill you. In every way. Every single way you could ever live your life is down some kind of path to scumbaggery and cancer. That's what I find. It's like those big signs, like on the headlands of countries and things like that, and they've got like a million different signs pointing to different directions, like New York, 6,000 kilometers that way, Tokyo, 2,000 kilometers that way, Adelaide and Rio de Janeiro, blah, 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 blah. Well, here's one I'm thinking of. Cancer is one direction. Dementia is another. Organ failure is another. Stupidity is another.
lobotomy is another. Depression is another. And these are the directions that we're all supposed to go. You know, inexorably, we'll all be there if we don't take action. Some people have seen this kind of agenda coming and have decided to try and stop it. Okay, because if you see an agenda coming and you sit back and think it'll all be resolved, the agenda will come and go past you. Right? This stuff is coming, and it's coming into fruition now. You see it everywhere. Every single day of every single country in every single way. We are being dominated beyond belief from all directions. And the easiest way to break free is to hold fast, to say no. We've been saying yes this whole time, just like in sales tactics. Okay, do you like to save money? Yes. You like to benefit your family? Yes. You like to appear reasonable? Yes. You like to have efficient service? Yes. Et cetera. You just keep getting them to say yes. And then when the time comes, when they sell you the product, so do you want this product or not? Yes, because you've been used to saying it for so long. We've got to start saying no. No, I do not want an efficient economy, okay? Everybody uses that word efficient. I don't know what it means. I know how the elite use it, and they use it to mean efficiently enslave your ass. That's what it means. No! No, thank you. You can bugger off, you freaking scumbag! You're a liar and a filthy, disgusting Federal Reserve employee. A Bohemian Grove groping piece of trash. I don't care what you've got to say, because I know that you're trying to kill me and enslave me. Go away. No. Pick up your frickin' snake oil cart and get the frack out of here. Lest we pop one in your ass. Scumbag. Frickin' scumbags with their scumbaggery coming in here trying to sell me some frickin' snake oil. No! The answer is no. And if you come anywhere near anybody else that I know, we are going to whip up some description of posse, and we are going to bust your ass, shoot you, and then probably just leave you in a jail cell to lead to death. All right, get out of here. We'll be right back after the break.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Welcome back, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasted live on the fabulous AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's kind of like the fabulous Las Vegas, except we don't put pheromones into the radio frequencies to make you more comfortable so that you'll lose more money at the slot machines. And you're not gambling here. Well, I don't know. Some of you might be gambling with your sanity. And that's another thing. Getting exposed to this information, God, it does drive you nuts. Holy cow, man. I remember one time when I tried to tell my sister that white bread, you know how they get that flour so white? It's because they put bleach in it. Bleach. And so I said, and so she's there, pregnant, making herself a bleached white bread sandwich. And she said, you know what? I'm perfectly happy to sit in my own cushioned little bubble of ignorance. Now, I'm not kidding. That is a quote. It enraged me so much. You know, as a truther, you get a little nuts and you fly off the handle sometimes. Screamed at her, you know, and called her slave scum. And afterwards, I was just thinking, oh, my God. That wasn't, reasonable. That's not going to help her wake up. It's just going to make her hate me. You know? You've got to keep your own behavior in check. In check. Big time. Ho, 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 ho. Is it hard to not lash out at people who tick you off? That's what people have got to realize, man. Part of this is the fact that the craziness of the information, okay, it exists because there are insane sociopathic scumbags out there who actually make this stuff up, make it happen, and it appears crazy to any sane person that looks upon it. That's the idea. So that anybody who comes out and says that there's a ruthless criminal bunch of sociopathic banking elite mofos that blew up the World Trade Center and are currently controlling the legislation and all the presidents of the world like puppets with a hand up their Jap's eye, okay, it sounds nuts to somebody who's not initiated, who doesn't know about it. Okay, and they have those reactions. They go, you're crazy. And they have the exact same reaction that a truther does when somebody behaves in a slave-like manner. Okay, you get this intense anger as if it's that person's fault, as if they came up with the idea, as if they're not under mind control, as if they actually know what they're doing. Okay, it takes a long time to know what the heck you're doing and talking about in the truth movement. Let me tell you, because I've been doing it for like 5 years. And I still have no idea. No idea whatsoever. And so when people send you emails or give you calls or talk to you in any way, telling you that they know everything or they know the best information about this, that, and the other, and they're gonna blow your mind, I find it hard to take them seriously. There are people out there who say that, who do know a lot of awesome stuff. But the point of fact is the depth of knowledge on one subject does not encompass the entire view of everything. I don't think anybody has all the answers, but I think everybody has all the answers, you know, collectively, together. If we're reasonable, if we don't fly off the handle, if we communicate openly, honestly, and with integrity, not scumbaggering, we can reach agreements and we can shunt out those people who are talking about crazy stuff that ain't got no evidence because it's irrelevant. Okay. It doesn't matter if the moon is artificial, in my opinion. Let's say for the sake of argument, it is. What does it change? Waiting. See, nothing changes. Your daily life does not change. Still the same thing. What are you going to do? Cruise, you know? It's not like you can get there. Well, the average person can't anyway. So it doesn't matter. It's not something to base policy on at the at an intellectual level, on a government panel or something of that nature. This is the world we live in. That's my opinion. Okay? And we've got to make of it what we can. And if there's things that are outside our control, let's not waste time on them, okay? Because many a man has gone insane trying to control things that are simply outside his control, okay? Like Icarus, you know, flying too close to the sun with wax on his wings. The wax melts, he falls to earth and dies, okay? How deep does the rabbit hole go? Well, it depends how far you're willing to crawl because it's an infinite rabbit hole. And you'll find out that Neverland does not end. It goes on forever, and you could be stuck there in a permanent parallel reality if you don't learn how to pull yourself out of it. Come back out of that rabbit hole and just go, you know what? I know what's down that path. I've been down that road before. I know exactly where it ends. Be aware of your surroundings because they have much more importance than any other ethereal aspect of your life. Okay, pay attention to the people around you. You find out that they have a lot to offer. what I find difficult to comprehend is just how anybody can be sure of anything. I'm in a perpetual state of wonder and uncertainty at the exposure to the type of information I get on just hosting this show. It blows my mind, staggers me, and then I still have to just, you know, sit there and, you know, immediately work through and get all the archives and all that stuff posted of a mechanical nature. And maybe I can ponder over these things later. But in retrospect, and I've been listening to some of the older shows from the ad-free archives, and in retrospect, it's actually impossible to listen to one of these shows and the huge amount of information that actually gets across in 2 hours. Kind of like a documentary. Will you be able to remember and recall every fact that's said to you during the course of one documentary after only just watching it once? No. And if you saw that documentary about a year later or something like that, would there be things in there that you kind of almost don't recognize and you go, oh, yeah, that's right. I almost forgot about that. Okay. It's through the process of repeated exposure to information that actually makes it sink into your long-term memory and is instantly able to be popped forward as a reference to something. And in the truth movement, we have huge quantities of obscure references that are just ready, willing, and waiting with bated breath to come out of us. Right? Somebody says something about 9/11, all of a sudden our ears prick up. And somebody's talking about terrorism, all of a sudden our ears prick up. We've got a million facts and figures that we can come in to the conversation with. And I find this is the interesting thing. Truth is, oh my God, they're good to party with, man. You have the best conversations you will ever have if you're partying with truthers. And none of them get too wasted. None of them get belligerent and overly aggro and stuff like that. Or at least none of the ones that I've been with, to the extent, or more to the point, none of them get violent. Real truthers I'm talking about. This is the kind of thing that the Vinnie Eastwood social network is supposed to be about, you know, so that you can bring people together so that they can talk with other people that, as it turns out, only just live down the road kind of thing. All right. And it happens on those social chats after the show all the time. I've been organizing a couple of hours after each show during the day now to do two extra interviews a day on what I've decided to do, just an hour each. Uploaded to the YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, so I haven't been taking part too much in the social chats. But they're still going every single day for hours and hours and hours. There's new people coming in. Other people have taken responsibility for hosting the calls, and I don't have to do anything. My technical expertise is no longer required. And that's my methodology to a T, mate. Give people the tools so that they don't need me anymore. And that way, when I want to come in, I can. And I don't have to worry about anything or juggle anything because everybody's just automatically got it. Okay? Independence, man. And that's the whole point about having friends, is that you don't want to be dependent on your friends or vice versa. You know? Both of you got to have your own things that you contribute, and you can't just lean on one another in too much of a predictable fashion like that, because it breeds it breeds contempt. Okay, I'm sick of that guy coming around here. He's always drinking my beers and blah blah blah, you know. Oh my God. So yeah, don't mooch off people too much. I mean, I should know. I'm the king of mooching. in fact, I had an idea last night. I wanted to do like a world tour, right? But I knew I wouldn't be able to afford anything. So I was just thinking about call it the Uber Mooch Tour or something with the word mooch. The Vinnie Eastwood Mooch Couch Surfing Tour O-Rama or something of that nature. Where I just, you know, cruise into a different town each day, stay with one particular truther who I can mooch off, you know, just have some food and some internet, stuff like that, so I can keep doing my show. And then move on to mooch on another person in another town at the next day. You know, it'd be classic, I think. Quite fun too. But anyway, we'll be right back. Hour number two coming up at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Join us in the chat room there as well. Just search Vinnie Eastwood Chat. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. Back in a few minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I was listening to Kevin Barrett's show with Jim Fetzer earlier today, and the subject of truthers who are, well, basically they may have good research and what have you, but the way they behave is, well, basically, they become their own worst enemy. Nobody likes them, and so nobody wants to listen to them, regardless of the quality of their research. It happens all the time. People in this movement are damaged goods, man. A lot of them. And you've got to pick and mix, okay? And these people will reveal themselves to you if you're honest, straightforward, and straight up, and always trying to help and what have you. And they get all angry and stop communicating with you or misinterpret what you say. That's a tip. And you're like, cool. Now I know that person's a knob. Not going to get them on the show anymore. You know, that's why I get so many different people on these shows once, because a lot of them kind of turn on you. And it's part of that trauma, as I mentioned earlier, that when you wake up, especially if you've had a official career or something that you've actually invested a lot of time in, a worldview, etc., you still have that cognitive dissonance somehow flying around up there, and you start to look back rather than look forward more often than not. And so people get stressed out for no reason, get angry for no reason, or at least to other people. To them, it's perfectly justifiable because they can't see that they're acting like a douche, right? And that's my problem. I just try not to act like a douche. And as a direct result of sending that little signal up, you know, like a skyrocket or something, you know, beating, shining out, a lot of people see that and go, ugh. We need to outlaw those fireworks. You know, people do that all the time. They see people having fun, not causing any harm, and trying to, you know, improve maybe the quality of the world. And for some reason, they get it in their head that that person's a bad person. Okay? It's insane. And quite frankly, I have reservations now where I didn't before about some people before coming on the show. Okay? Any listener, or even if you don't listen to the show, I don't really care, send me a email of the person that you want me to interview, and I will interview them, you know. And and only now, after a couple of years of doing this, am I weary about who I might be interviewing, and weary of the fact that I don't know who they are, because some of these people have like sent out real scathing emails about me after the shows, or I've upset their friends or something by some of the things that I have said. They don't like my attitude. I appear too cavalier. I'm too immature. You know, the list goes on. Well, true. Well, true. It's not coming from a bad place, okay? If I'm not totally on the ball, I apologize, you know, and I say, look, I was really tired that day or something, you know, and I'll listen back to the show. Like, I listened to the show with Leno Sanic from Black Op Radio yesterday, and I thought to myself, man, this show is terrible. Not because Len was terrible, but because I was. I was always interrupting him, making lame, stupid jokes where inappropriate. And there were these long pauses. And it was like terrible, you know, kind of thing. And Len's been doing the show for like 12 years or whatever, you know. He's got methodologies to follow. He's got a wide back knowledge of JFK assassination and stuff like that. And instead of basically just letting him talk and lay it out kind of thing, I was too busy trying to, you know, keep it flippant and stupid, you know. I want to apologize to Len for that publicly, you know, because I look at myself sometimes and I think, Vinny, you're such an idiot. You know, you do these stupid things, and what's good though is I don't keep doing stupid things after I realize that I've done something stupid. You know, like the old quote, it might be Mark Twain: when an honest man is confronted with being wrong, he either ceases to be wrong or ceases to be honest. I simply cease to be wrong, but the problem is, I'm wrong about so many things, and I know that I am. I just don't know how I'm wrong or exactly what I'm wrong about, and I refuse to dwell on that too long, because if you dwell about how wrong you are, you don't realize just how right you are to be going out there and doing things on the megaphone and helping activists get some coverage that they deserve and this kind of stuff. It's easy to forget the good things in your life when you're confronted with some of the bad things, because they're very overriding, you know. When somebody questions you and critiques you and things like that, and you feel it's unjustified, you get this righteous flame of indignation in your belly kind of thing, and you want to attack them and be aggressive and stuff like that. And I'm just like, now, you know what? Bugger this person. I can figure out pretty quickly now, from an email or from a message or on YouTube or Facebook or anything like that. I can instantly see the mentality of this person as one of the people that I don't want to associate with. So because there's so many other people out there who are good people, who I do want to associate with, who aren't knobs, I'll simply block that person and then go and as a result, because I've got this extra time that I don't have to spend writing a long email telling this person how they're wrong, I write a very short email asking somebody else who's who would appreciate it to come on the show or do something of that nature, and actually produce some kind of result out of it. You know, a recorded interview full of positivity and happiness and things like that. It depends what you want to put your energy into. Okay, if you want to put your energy into energy vampires, they're just going to suck you dry because they don't give you anything back. They just take, hate, hate, hate. Frack that Shiite Muslim. Don't care. Get away from me. There's 7 billion people on this planet. What makes you worth my time? This ain't that me being arrogant. This ain't me being some people who think they're better than you, blah, 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 blah. This is more the fact that I don't want to associate with people who are mean to me. I don't want to associate with people who insult me if I don't have to. And now I don't have to. When I was in the workforce, as all of us have been probably at some point during our lives, some of us still are, you have to associate with people like that because you don't have a choice. Okay? I now have a choice. Thank goodness for that. Block you. Get away from me. Don't want to ever hear from you again. There's a million other nice people out there that I can talk to and have fun with. Okay? That's how I want to spend my time. And if people want to be angry with me for wanting to spend my time with positive people and accomplishing goals and positive things, then I've got no leg to stand on. Because what have they accomplished? What have they achieved? You get all these people out there who, instead of making content themselves, simply sit around and lambast and attack people whose content they don't like and provide nothing to the greater sea of information other than hate, critique, no evidence. Okay? Stupid. Not worth your time if you are somebody like me who does the direct opposite. I barely look at other people's stuff. And usually the first time I'm exposed to somebody's material is when they come on this radio program, when I'm making a product with them and helping them to gain some followers for their websites and YouTube channels and radio shows and all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm just trying to help people who are speaking the truth and making a positive difference get bigger. I mean, my ideal world will be one where I've got the ability, as well as being able to share that with others, to make people celebrities, okay? How you make celebrity is you spread them across different media, right? You want them on radio, you want them on TV, you want them in print, you want them on web, and you want to have them making cameo appearances in TV shows and this stuff all over the place. Basically, in order to make somebody famous, you have to saturate, okay, across all these different various mediums that people get involved with. That's ultimately what I want to do, is build a media conglomerate. Hopefully, one day I'll be the biggest in the Southern Hemisphere. Well on my way. So that every day we can have activists with their own radio shows and all of that sort of stuff, simply spreading out the feeder tentacles, not needing me to do it for them, having their own equipment, their own facilities, and this sort of stuff, completely detached from everything else, and being able to pursue their goals of waking the public up to the copious quantities of scumbaggery. And if they do not have the technical skill that it takes to host a radio show, produce one, or make videos and things of that nature, you give them a quick tutorial to show them how, and then give them the platform so that they can get the experience into how to do it. And it turns out, in most people's cases, they're simply not capable of it. Okay? I can assure you, radio weeds out the people who do not have the 100% commitment. Yeah, you see it everywhere, man. Lots of people had co-hosts who don't anymore. It's because one person was absolutely dedicated and the other person wasn't absolutely dedicated. It's just that simple. It doesn't mean that that person's not going to go on to do great things and what have you. It just means that the radio's not for them, because it takes a lot of work, a lot of hardiness, a lot of acceptance, a lot of talking, a lot of networking. This is what I do all the time. Very few people can do it, or more to the point, very few people are doing it. I think maybe people could if they were taught how, but I don't know. All I know is that I can, and so I must. The responsibility has fallen to me because I've got the ability. Okay, I don't really have any easy way out of this, because, well, basically, I want this career to go really huge and help as many people as possible. I want to change the world, basically. Got that whole delusions of grandeur thing going for me. But the difference is, between most people who claim that that's what they want to do, is that they want to acquire all that power and all that recognition for themselves, whereas I'm doing it simply because I can, and I'm doing it to gain recognition for everybody else, who I believe does harder work than me, you know. Perusing through government documents, being held in Guantanamo Bay, being forced drugged, or suffering debilitating diseases due to vaccine reactions, and then suing the vaccine manufacturers in court and stuff like that. I can't do that. That's I'd put that in the too hard basket for me. But these other people, on the other hand, this is what has happened to them. Like it or not, that's their life now. And I feel so sorry for them that they had worse stuff happen to them than happened to me. And I want to help by letting people hear their stories. And I want to hear their stories for the first time, just like the audience sometimes are. Because I don't know what it is about knowing something about somebody before you see them. you have all these different thoughts and things and all these different possible questions that run through your head, and you always wind up regretting the conversation afterwards. I should have said this, or I should have asked that, and that kind of thing. And I'm just like, no. You cut out the middleman. Stop putting the pressure on yourself. Just speak to this person as though they're a person. If you know nothing about them, it's a heck of a lot easier. Okay? That's my perspective on it anyway. Because people are people, right? They all are. Some of them might be psychopathic scumbags, like the people get into parliament and what have you, but in general. And this is another thing that I disagree with so many people in the truth movement about. They talk about sheeple and slaves and scum and blah, 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 blah. While I agree with some of the tenets and that there are definitely those people out there, to keep talking about it in that sort of, superiority complex fashion, I guess. I'm better than you because you're a sheep, slave, scum, you know, and I used to have this mentality, but now I don't. It makes you too full of yourself. I think, because you're putting yourself on a pedestal and you're putting everybody else down, which is exactly the same thing that the elite do, and I don't think any good can come from that kind of mentality. It's my perspective on it anyway. I could be wrong. Maybe, getting real angry with people and forgetting your place and being rude for the sake of the truth is the right way to go. I tried doing it. I did actually accomplish a fair amount being rude to politicians and ambushing them and stuff like that. People love those videos, okay? Because, hey, they deserve it. But I'm wondering how much it actually costs me to do it versus how much it costs me to have a conversation with somebody I do agree with who's trying to help people, rather than ambushing scumbags who are trying to hurt people. I wonder. I'm always a favor of doing both if I don't have to choose between them. And I'm just conscious of the fact that I haven't ambushed a scumbag in a while. Like a long while. Almost since starting this radio show. I've all of a sudden become a lot more respectful. Maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe we should all be really, really angry. But the problem is, you go up to anybody angry and they don't want to talk to you. That's the problem. You are angry, but you've got to pretend like you're not so you can at least talk to the people that you're angry with. I don't know. Maybe that's a bit too much restraint, and it's that kind of restraint that we've put ourselves on that has allowed these scumbags to get away with crap for so freaking long. You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You can join us in the chat room at TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com. I'll be right back in just a few minutes, folks. Bonkers.
In my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. And every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but unless I let ease, give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show.
Broadcasting live right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. You've got to check out the archives. Oh, my God. Are the archives awesome at TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com? Okay. You click on Radio Archives in the top left-hand corner, right next to the Home tab, okay, and it drops down. It's got Vinny Eastwood Archives, 64K, and it has a little bar that comes out of there. There's the 2012 archives, and sheepers creepers, the amount, let alone the quality and the scope of the guests that we have on is extraordinary. And I've now started putting on, every time I go on somebody else's show, which is starting to be pretty regular, usually once or twice a week on somebody else's show on some other network or whatever, I'll pop them into the 2012 archives as well. So it's like, let me just see if I can go down here, see if anybody's names pop up here. So just in the last 2 days alone, Alex Hunter, Susan Borho, Charlie McGrath, Neil Slade, Jack Blood, more Charlie McGrath, George Cavasillas, more Alex Hunter, the Dark Occulted Mysticism Show with Vinnie Eastwood and Freighter X. It's a special show that we're doing every week that's available there at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and also uploaded to the YouTube channel. And by the way, all of these archives that I'm reading out are also on the YouTube channel, okay, because I film myself via webcam during each live radio show, and then I have a professional account that was given to me for free by YouTube because I uploaded so many videos, so I can upload videos of any length, right? So every day there'll be an hour and a half video, plus it'll be split into three 30-minute videos, or the first two segments, second two segments, yeah, so on and so forth. So, yeah, Mr. News Guerrilla Media is the YouTube channel. There's Arnold Wiley, Catherine Buckelow and Rand Porter, Penny Bright, Pastor Lindsay Williams, Art Olivier, James Corbett, Dr. Janet Hull, Honey Radiance Radio with Rick. I've talked with a bunch of Māori elders who came around to the house and we were talking about Māori issues and stuff. Had Freighter X on the other day, Angela Foreman from the Gourmet Soap Kitchen. And I've been using her soap, and oh my freaking God, is it good soap, right? I looked through this package. She sent me like a bunch of different soaps, something like 6 months worth or whatever. And one of them looked really choice. It was a cinnamon and an oat one. And it was like a clear kind of golden looking soap. And you wash your hands with it and you wash your face with it, and you actually feel refreshed, like, wow. Feel awake, like you just had a bath or and a cup of coffee at the same time, sort of thing. So you feel clean and energized. Fabulous soap. So I've given her a little thingy on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com to get those gourmet soaps out there, because they're pretty awesome. And also on the Patrick Lynch, if anybody's heard of him, he's got a little show in England there. Also, Jonathan Eisen and Catherine Smith from the Uncensored Magazine and the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, been on the show in there. James Robert Wright, 33rd degree Freemason. And, of course, I was on Charlie McGrath's show. I've had him on here. There was Jack Ellis, author of Prophecy, Challenge and Blessing, Visions of 2012 and the Shift. Albert Burgess, who's an old retired police officer, now a French polisher, who's saying that we should be arresting England's politicians for treason, because that's exactly what they're doing. Rosa Corey, the Green Agenda and the Global Control Network and how it can be beaten, Agenda 21. Keith Hunter, talking about the mysteries of ancient knowledge. We said Neil Henderson from New Zealand on the Climate Realists. And Roxy Lopez from the Truth Denied radio show. Kevin Barrett. Jay Soley is an anti-NWO MC, and Walter Willis is just this old guy who saw UFOs, who saw aliens as a kid kind of thing. Dr. Antonella Carpenter, who does, curing cancer with, what's it called, laser beams or whatever. And also this guy, Tony, from Augmented Force, who's develops a revolutionary method of getting rid of Morgellons disease. It's one of the chemtrail alleged diseases associated with it. Anthony Peake, that was a really good interview about the science behind life after death and what deja vu actually is. Very, very interesting show there. And Craig Isherwood from Australia. What's his name? LaRouche, Lyndon LaRouche. He's kind of like the Lyndon LaRouche of Australia. Okay, and we've been having a lot more Aussie listeners into the show of late as well. And I even looked at the Google Analytics, and the top city that listens to the show in terms of visitors to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com is actually Auckland, here in New Zealand, unsurprisingly, because I'm all over the place around here. But And the next, like, four down are Australian cities. You know, Melbourne, Adelaide, Sydney, that kind of thing. And so we're developing a decent following in Australia, which I do love, because Aussies are positive and fun people, man. Seriously. Very cool people. A lot more, shall we say, a little less judging than New Zealanders, I'd like to say. Because New Zealanders are real bitter people, you know. I don't know what it is about us, in some cases of the word. Real creative, but also very bitter. Also, Joseph Atwell, the Roman conspiracy to invent Jesus, that was a freaking good interview. And John Walls and Terry Keeley, this dude was on 2020 discussing his alien abduction experiences and his mates, basically his therapist kind of thing, and they had them both on. You know, great time. And Cliff High, anybody's ever heard of the Webbot project? This guy created a program that sends out webbots to all the vast corners of the web. And it turns out that basically humans are latently psychic, and it comes out on all the stuff that we put on the web. And so it's been making predictions based upon keystrokes and other information and little bits and pieces of packages and stuff from all over the web. And very, very interesting. The scariest thing about it is, though, it's now making no predictions. Like, the internet ain't there anymore, because it kind of transitions the gap between the present and the future. So it was just scary stuff. Great interview. Very deep insight into the nature of the universe and reality, to be sure. And that's even on the featured interviews page. So, you know, you come into a point here where, you know, we've got Christopher Green from Green Wave Radio, who invites me on his show from time to time. Chris Green, you've got to listen to Chris Green. Seriously. The guy has got it going on like Donkey Kong in a Merrill Lynch office. Okay, the guy's awesome. Please listen to Christopher Green. Only 2 days a week on American Freedom Radio. It's only a couple of hours of your time. Come on, you know, don't you love that angry American man who loves his country and hates scumbaggery just ranting? I love that. I must say, I'm addicted to it. Okay, and also Lindsay Williams. And Lindsay and me have developed a little bit of a rapport. Now, I know a lot of people don't like how he speaks and he kind of prefaces people and all that sort of stuff, but I asked him to come on specifically to talk about the energy non-crisis. And he told me on that show that other show hosts don't ask him about that or actually invite him on to speak about it anymore. They're always interested in the new information about the elite and this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah. And, well, basically, you know, he relished the opportunity because this is actually his big passion. Yeah, doesn't really normally get to speak about it. And by the way, his advisor from Wall Street, Tom Filer, who made the 2012 DVD with Lindsay Williams as one of the background guys who understands derivatives and all of that kind of stuff, is actually coming on the show next week. So watch out for that. We also have other radio show hosts like Chrissy McMahon and Steve Hart, former BBC and from New Zealand, Dr. John Bulio talking about tuning forks, Alison McDermott with the fire burn doctor. You know, you get a real bad burn, you call these people up and your burn starts to disappear. Freaky stuff, man. Rob Menard and his World Freeman Society assistant, Peter Valentine from New Zealand here. Prince Truth Chaser, who was out there at Bilderberg with, what was his name? The guy who has been chasing Bilderberg since it began. You know who I'm talking about. Forget the name off the top of the head. Jim Tucker, there we are. And also Zan Overall, the wise old man, the old guy who's a truther, who stands around with signs saying no more wars for Israel. he's funny. Mike Billington from LaRouche Pack, and Chris Maple, the maker of The Great Culling. John Podash, who wrote the book The FBI and Their Secret War on Tupacs and Black Leaders. Sheriff Richard Mack, who's just so freaking awesome on gun control and a lot of other issues. Liam Sheff, about how AIDS and HIV is a fraud. Did you know about 70% of the people who get tested for HIV if you tested everybody on Earth, would probably come up positive for HIV because it ain't a real freaking disease. And also, we had Sean David Morton talking about the Sands of Time and this, all this info that he was sent to write his new book. Very, very cool dude. Very funny. Sydney Ross Singer talking about how bras can kill you, give you cancer and what have you. And all the women out there and also all you men, you got to show your missus that interview, man, because trust me, women don't like bras and they are looking for an excuse to take them off, and men are also looking for an excuse to take them off too. So it's a good start to it. And this guy, Paul Mizuik from New Zealand, who actually got a ruling saying, yes, okay, we'll pay you $2 trillion. Just leave us alone. He says, no, I don't want you to just leave me alone. I want justice. And I was just like, dude, you should have taken the money. But it was a funny interview anyway. Really good. Michael Murphy, Max Egan. And, of course, every now and again, I'll have a guest cancel or something like that, and it'll just be me ranting. So, you know, there's a few but far between in there. Darren Williams from Darren's Alternative Theory in the UK. He's a classic guy from Liverpool. I love his accent. almost everything that's said in a Liverpoolian accent makes me giggle just a little, I think. I hope Darren doesn't take that the wrong way. And also Joanne Summerscales and Miles Johnson from amac.co.uk talking about cutting-edge topics, talking with ufologists and stuff like that. Catherine Albrecht, a writer of Spy Chips. Guido, the plumber and gas fitter who made the smart meter blocker that's being implemented up there in Canada. Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane, who've been exposed in scumbaggery for goodness knows how long, particularly medical mafioso scumbaggery in COINTELPRO. And also a new radio host, Paul Vickers in England from Critical Mass Radio, Matt Presti and Robert Otey from the Science Conspiracy from thesecretoflight.com. Very interesting discussion there. Big Bang Theory was created by the Catholic Church, for example. Very interesting info. Ryan Dawson, Rise to Sense, very logical dude, kind of whenever he lays out a topic and does a video or something like that, it's usually just a slam dunk, that's about it, bro. You know, whatever he said definitely happened. There might be other things, but it doesn't change what he said. You know, pretty credible there, Ryan Dawson. Even Ian Jacklin, who's a champion kickboxer, who's in a few, be great, low budget, you know, movies like Deathmatch and stuff like that back in the 90s. And now he's found out a way to beat cancer using diets, supplements, things of that nature. William Ramsey, who wrote the book The Prophet of Evil, Aleister Crowley, 9/11, and the New World Order. Very good interview. And also Matthew Marsh, the Celestial Serpent, a little anti-New World Order MC. Talking about God and theosophy. The Greek, if anybody's ever heard the Greek, he's a very, very clued up individual. Oh my God, does he know a lot of stuff? Does he know a lot of stuff? And most of it is things that you think you understand, and you soon discover after a short conversation with the Greek, not only do you not understand, but it's very, very different to what you thought it was in the first place. It kind of breaks down your reality in a fetal position, sense of the word. And also, here's a particular one. If you're a truther and you're having hard times, and I want to give this episode special mention, the 14th of June, 2012, if you scroll down, I think it's a little bit further past halfway of the Vinnie Eastwood Show 2012 archives, the 14th of June, things are tough all over Vinnie Eastwood, the truther counsellor. I've been through so much crap in this movement. And I dispensed some real gems of advice out there about how to survive all this BS. It's really, really good listening. I've listened to myself, you know. It's like I'm advising myself. There's so many more on there. I literally don't have enough time to talk about them. So many great, massive, big guests and so many interesting little ones. It's just... you really have to be listening to the show every day as well as looking through those archive sections to see the best stuff available. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah. Sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah. It's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business. It's business time.
Oh, yeah.
That's welcome right. Back.
We go brush our teeth.
Ladies and gentlemen. That's foreplay. To the sexiest 2 hours in talk radio, the show that's all about foreplay. The caller line is now open, 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. If you want to call in and give me a piece of your mind, I'll give you a piece right back, preferably a nice one, you know, cut off at the edges and stuff so it's got extra icing on it, just like a nice birthday cake, which is a representation of placenta. My the website thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, as I mentioned a few days ago and also previously on the show, is now starting to get bigger. But in and of itself, that doesn't include the YouTube channel, that doesn't include Guerrilla Media, but in and of itself is now bigger than the people who helped me get where I am today. Okay, like I'm talking about people like Jonathan Eisen from Uncensored Magazine. My website now gets more hits than he does. Okay, and I'm just thinking about this. What kind of a responsibility does that bear on me? Okay, you know, size and power, audience, blah, 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 blah. It is responsibility to me. And particularly, you need to be grateful for the people who helped you get to where you are. So I wanted to thank Jonathan Eisen personally, because him and his wife Kath, along with many other activists in New Zealand, have literally through those first couple of years and even right up till today, regularly save my ass financially, emotionally, spiritually, by giving me great advice, by giving me good hookups with people. By giving me money and that kind of thing. I am in absolute awe of how they manage to do what they do with those producing two magazines, just the two people. You know, they're so good at what they do, and I'm humbled and grateful to have them as good friends. And it's starting to become a regular thing for me to have people who are great. Great people who are friends of mine who would vouch for me in a bad situation, you know. So in essence, I'm protected, but in other ways, I'm not. And this is another thing I wanted to actually touch on here. There's a lot of people prevent themselves from going out and starting radio shows or going on YouTube or going on Facebook because they're afraid that they might get attacked or taken out or this, that, or the other. Mate, that's exactly what they want you to do. So if you want to be afraid and do nothing, fine. I'll be fearless, and I'll do everything that I can, when I can, to help humanity. And we'll see who accomplishes something first. Okay? We'll make that deal with you. These people that we talk to on this show are people who have taken some form of responsibility to go out and start talking about things, making sure that people are aware of the truth, whatever the truth might be, according to them. And my job is just to sit here, listen to them, and agree with them on what I can, because on the points that you disagree, you can go on forever about. Whereas the fundamentals remain the same. I was saying to Charlie McGrath yesterday, hey, Charlie, Are you planning to, like, put on a black uniform and come over to New Zealand and exterminate me? Or do you want that to happen to any of your people, regardless, or the politicians and stuff like that? And he's like, well, no. Okay, well, then there's nothing we could really fundamentally disagree upon, okay? That's my two cents anyway. If we're all under this big, scary extermination plot, then the one thing I want to know is, and it's pretty straightforward, whose side are you on? Do you want to be afraid, huddle in the darkness until the lights go out? Or do you want to burn the candle at both ends and charge headlong into the enemy apparatus and take them out to protect the innocent, to safeguard the weak? That whole idea, the Knights of the Round Table, crusading, etc., I think that's what we're doing now. We are doing those very things that you would ordinarily have to swear an oath to. You know, I swear eternal vigilance against scumbaggery, its apparatus, its puppets, its thought processes. I swear eternal vigilance against it. I will safeguard the weak. I will keep the peace. And I will protect the innocent. That is the oath. Okay? Don't break your oaths. It's better to lose your job than to break your oath. Okay? That's the important thing, is that principles are more important than money, more important than your personal safety, more important than your comfort level. Okay? You do have to sacrifice if you want to have something like freedom. Freedom is so precious, so rare, and any generation that has freedom already is no more than one generation away from losing it. These people that we elect have turned it into an art form of how to manipulate us, of how to use our base instincts against us. And I think that it's only through the true strength of taking an oath and understanding the full ramifications of such to do the right thing, even though the wrong thing is being done to you. That is the only way we can really make out of this one alive, together, with our honor still intact. We have so many responsibilities, whether they be right up at the top, a responsibility to ensure decent, accountable government, or whether it be right down here at the bottom, a decent, accountable me, one who's honest, one who will admit one's faults, one who will listen to criticism, one who will take on board things that are constructive and discard things that are destructive, one that won't get it get you too far into your own head, one who doesn't think that you're so much better than everybody else. You know, those are the things that you need to maintain. It's eternal vigilance, essentially, and personal responsibility. Those are the two things that I try to embody daily, because I take personal responsibility for the media here in New Zealand, not talking about the truth. And so I do this radio show every single day and many others in order to make sure that New Zealand has a media that they can listen to that won't be BSing them all day with irrelevant garbage that has no consequence, to distract them from the things that are truly important. I've taken personal responsibility for that. The people have responded. I've been supported for it. I will keep doing it until such time as as I can't do it anymore. All right, that's basically it. And I ain't anywhere near that point yet, and I don't think I'll reach it. I have too much a stride in my step, too much self-confidence, too much strength, and too much determination for somebody to sway me. I don't know how long people have been trying to convince me to give up this life. It's been a long time. It's been many people. And slowly, one by one, they start to get it. Yeah, Vinny ain't going to give up. He really is going to change the world. He really is helping people. He really is exposing scumbaggery. He really is who he says he is. And it's only through the years and years of very diligent work that I have done, mostly for other people, that has given me that confidence and that strength to carry on. It's only through the years of support and those people who have been supporting me financially, like since day dot kind of thing. When I launched the $5 subscription fee, some people went it up and did 10 or 20, and one does 35. One person wanted to do 60 a month but to pay for the internet and all that kind of stuff. And people come and go. Some people have been donating to me for a long, long time, and they've kept listening to the show. And I don't think I can express just how grateful I am that I don't have to work in a slave office and have a boss and have to associate with people who are scum, because all of you people who are still working who do have to suffer through that bullcrap give me something that you have that I don't, a little bit of cash, so that I can keep doing this. That sacrifice that you make, I feel, is kind of on a par with mine. Even if it's $5 a month, it's still a sacrifice that is hard to bear. I understand how much $5 can mean. But trust me, if you're giving it to somebody who you know is a sure thing, if somebody who's worth it, hopefully it'll be, let's say I'm worth it, okay? I'm the L'Oreal Paris or Maybelline of the truth movement. I'm worth it. You give something to me, I will give you back a heck of a lot more, right? I always have my entire life. That's the way I am. So thank you for your support, and thank you for listening, and I'll see you again sometime. Ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.